This is Susan Strait, editor of Dimensions Magazine, and I am delighted to be here this afternoon with Nicole Small, the president of the Light a Hill Foundation, a Dallas-based foundation devoted to advancements in conservation and health. Small is the former chief executive officer of Dallas's Perot Museum of Nature and Science, where she led the successful merger of the area's three previous nature and science museums, the Museum of Natural History, the Science Place, and the Children's Museum. Her most recent achievement with Light a Hill is the launch of the If Then Initiative, which will empower current STEM innovators to inspire the next generation of pioneers. Specifically, it will provide a robust selection of images of women in science for science centers and museums so that visitors' visual experience will represent greater gender equity. Nicole, you are passionate about gender equity in STEM. How will the If Then Initiative be a game changer, especially for science museums?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today. We are really, really excited to talk about this launch of If Then and what it's going to do for not only the broad community, but specifically for museums. So, yes, I am super passionate about the opportunity for everyone to have some visibility into science careers. And even if it's not a career, at least having deep appreciation of science. I think almost every problem in this world is going to be solved by science, and we need to make sure that everybody has a seat at the table. So, over the years, we all know that gender, equity and girls don't necessarily see themselves in movies or on walls of museums as often as they should. And we know we've got a leaky pipeline as women pursue careers later in their graduate studies. And so we spent a lot of time thinking about how might we bring a coalition together to begin to think about how to change this. There's lots of people doing amazing work in women in science, and we thought if we brought them all together to make a statement about this, that we might be able to move the needle faster and bigger. So If Then is an initiative that is designed to activate a culture shift among young girls to essentially open their eyes to STEM careers. So we're doing that in three ways. The first is we're going to continue to fund and elevate women in STEM as role models. So we do a lot of funding of women scientists, and we're going to continue to do that. The second piece is that we're going to convene a cross-sector of partners in entertainment, fashion, sports, business, and academia to illuminate the importance of STEM everywhere and help people understand that it's all around them. Instead of having little girls saying, "Oh, that's not for me, I'm not a math kid," we want to explain to them that whatever it is you're interested in, you probably are a math and science kid. We just need to give them some visibility into that. And the way we do that is the third piece, which is inspiring girls everywhere with better portrayals of women in STEM through media and learning experiences to pique their interest in STEM careers. So that's essentially what the If Then initiative is about.
And from a science museum background, you have now made this transition to private foundation work. Why did you decide to make this shift?
Well, I had the just incredible honor and good fortune to spend about 12 years with what is now the Perot Museum of Nature and Science, and had the opportunity to join the science museum team when it was the Museum of Natural History in Dallas, and we had 11 staff members, and we'd been around for decades. But we dreamed of something bigger here in Dallas and had the opportunity to be part of the team that built the new, that merged three museums, raised $200 million, and built the new Perot Museum of Nature and Science, which has now been open for over 5 years. And it was just an incredible opportunity. And I learned a lot. And I, one of the things that I recognized while I was there was that there was also an opportunity to maybe join the side of funders where I could, on a maybe a bigger platform, join with Light a Hill, who is the principal of our Light a Hill Philanthropies, and who has a big vision about changing the world through nature and science and investing in all things related to conservation, science research, science education, and the opportunity to join her team to be able to perhaps help invest on a broader scale was just a tremendous opportunity. And so being able to leverage both my museum experience, my business background, and join Leida's team to help change the world. Our tagline here is science is the answer. So to be able to be part of that team was an incredible opportunity. And I still get to be involved in the museum world, especially with If Then. So I get, it's all really fun.
Yeah, and I can tell you from you've listed some ways in which your museum experience has benefited your current work, but what do you think maybe is the most significant way your museum experience, having been on the inside of museums, is benefiting your current work, maybe especially with the If Then initiative?
Sure. Well, I think that my experience at the Perot Museum for so many years really deeply has informed this If Then initiative, and that, in a variety of ways. One, when you have the privilege of going to work in a science museum every day and riding up and down the elevators with kids all day, you really get a unique perspective into how they see the world, what inspires them, what gets them excited, what are those awe-inspiring moments that make them kind of go, aha. This may be something I should deeply care about, or I even might want a job like that one day. And so, spending so much time in the museum and really having the opportunity to see how girls and boys experience the walls and the programs, both in and outside the museum, really informed a lot of how we've thought about this If Then initiative, and actually is one of the primary reasons that a huge piece of us executing on our If Then initiative is tied directly to enabling museums across the country to have free access to the visuals that they need to be able to put on their walls. People that look like everybody that's walking through the museum, so that everyone that walks through the museum has an opportunity to see somebody that looks like them and therefore give them some visibility onto, what they might be able to be. Because as we know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. So in this particular initiative where we're focused on girls, we want to make sure that there's gender diversity on the walls. And having worked in the museum for so many years, I actually know how difficult it can be sometimes to obtain the right kinds of images that we need to put on the walls so visitors can see themselves. And so whether that's videos or photographs or other means of communication online, virtual reality, all those kinds of things, we are going to be using the If Then initiative to gather what we're calling a digital asset library, which is going to be made available and free to the museums across the country so that they can access all the visual aids that they need to make sure that their walls and their stories equally represent the people who walk through the door. So it's a huge piece because, frankly, I mean, we know better than anyone, right? Everyone reading this magazine knows that hundreds of millions of people a year walk through our informal learning institutions, and they have such a tremendous influence on the way people see the world. And so there's no better place than to tell these stories than in science museums.
Right. What's your next game-changing project?
Well, it's hard to say one. We are having so much fun at Light a Hill Philanthropies, and If Then initiative is really our big focus at the moment. But we are also really excited that we just announced that we are part of the new Lever for Change that the MacArthur Foundation just announced just a few weeks ago. And if people aren't familiar with MacArthur's 100 and Change, it would be something that I think would be wonderful if some museums would have an opportunity to apply for. They have spun out a new nonprofit called Lever for Change, which essentially is competitions and prize money around specific issues. So we are excited that we just announced that in Texas, Light a Hill Philanthropies is running the first statewide Lever for Change, and that's going to be coming available. The funds and the competition will be launched in early 2020. So that's our next big thing.
Fantastic. And what can Science Center professionals do at all levels to make the case for their organization, especially given the current administration's proposed fiscal year 2020 budget, as well as local financial constraints?
Well, having spent 10 years trying to raise $200 million to fund and build a brand new science museum, I am intimately familiar with the challenges that all CEOs and development teams face in trying to make the case for why science museums are critical and integral to our communities. As I said earlier, we believe here that science is the answer, and we know that most of the world's problems, all you have to do is turn on the news, right, are going to be solved by science. And so I think, I think it's always of critical importance to connect everything going on in the world with actionable things that kids and communities can learn from science museums. So I think we need to prove that it's good business to invest in our science museums, because when we've got, hundreds of millions of people walking through the doors of science museums every year, this is how we're building our workforce development. This is how we're building, our voting population. This is how we're building our critical thinkers of tomorrow for the jobs that we don't even know what they are yet. So the ROI on that is really great. So it's important to prove that the ROI is really good in these museums. And I also think that mixing both sort of the longevity of interview, we used to spend a lot of time holding up some amazing Nobel laureates who cite science museums as the reason they got interested in science. And I think when you go out and talk to a lot of these amazing Nobel laureates and ask them about their favorite science museum, their eyes light up when they talk about the first time they walked through the heart, you know, at their local science, you know, the HERT exhibit at their local science museum, or the first time someone visited the Hayden Planetarium for the first time and the universe was open to them. So we know that these museums work. We know that they inspire people to pursue careers and to be more educated citizens around things that are in science. And then I think it's also important for people to just understand that, you know, if you can make learning fun for kids, it's something they want to keep doing. And it's pretty basic and simple. But if a kid walks through the door of a museum and has a great time and maybe doesn't realize that they're learning a whole bunch of things, they're going to want to go back. And that is more valuable than anything, creating lifelong learners. So the fact that museums are not only meaningful education opportunities, but also fun for kids is, I think, the best sales tool. All you have to do is, you know, show a potential donor a kid walking in and seeing their first T-Rex or seeing their first planetarium show. And that awe-inspiring moment is, you know, worth so many words and hopefully millions of dollars.
What's your favorite science center?
Well, I'm a little bit biased, but of course, my most favorite science center in the whole world is the Perot Museum of Nature and Science in Dallas.
Tell me a little bit about that, what you like about that museum in particular, other than the fact that you were there for so long.
Well, you know, I think the thing that's exciting about the Perot Museum is that, I mean, there's so many things that are exciting about it, but I think the fact that it, having the opportunity to both have the benefit of building on multiple institutions' legacies, and we had three institutions, a children's museum, a science museum, and a natural history museum that we brought together. So having the opportunity to build on the legacies of those three institutions, but yet at the same time do a greenfield project where we started completely from scratch and were able to take the best of those institutions and yet dream at the same time about what we thought the next generation science museum might look like and put that all wrapped up into a visually stunning building that Tom Main designed that really both attracts and excites people about the content inside is what I think is exciting. So I think, you know, in the Perot Museum, you've got 185,000 square feet just packed solid with learning experiences, hands-on experiences, you know, portals to the world beyond Dallas. And so, you know, we know that museums obviously are a lens to the world beyond. And so I think what's so much fun about the Perot Museum is that we cover all sorts of different worlds, everything from sports to dinosaurs. And so there's something there for everybody and something there for every age. So I feel like even now, after even having worked there for a long time, every time I walk through the door, I learn something new. And so that's great fun.
Yeah. Nicole, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.